Hi everyone, I'm Esther Kovacs and I'm a co-founder of Drone Talks, and today in Las Vegas at the Commercial UAV show I am interviewing Ido, who is the Chief Information and Data Officer at DELAC US. And I'm very excited because I haven't met him yet. It's a new face, it's an oil industry which I don't know anything about. So I hope I can learn from Ido today. So Ido, if someone doesn't know you, who are you and how you got dragged into drones? Because obviously it's a drone conference, so what do you do here?
Thank you very much for having me. Let's hope you're gonna enjoy this first impression. We don't have a second chance to do so. I'm the CIO and Chief Data Officer for DELAC US, which is a downstream company in the oil and gas industry. Downstream is actually making crude oil products, right? So you are definitely a customer of either gasoline, diesel, jet fuel, asphalt, and 1,000 more products that you have in your daily operations. I came to the US a year and a half ago after being the CIO of Israel's national airline, El Al. I was there for 4 years. And before that, I was in the television industry, also running the data and analytics units. So been in many industries before. And this is my first time as well in the oil and gas industry. But with regards to the drones program, once again, and you mentioned it a few times, safe and reliable operations is the core of our business, right? The last refinery was built in 1980. So those are all assets that we need to maintain. So safe, reliable operations is our main goal. We're utilizing drones as part of our safety capabilities and as part of the observation of visual inspections capabilities. So we enhance drones capabilities to improve our safe, reliable operations.
I love those topics: safety, cybersecurity, integration to the already existing infrastructure.
Yeah.
So I think currently one of the hottest topic is when drones come to place within the big companies like oil and gas, you need to create a cyber secure system. Where can those drones integrate to your already existing system, right? So do you find this challenging, or you already, succeeded in this? Or is it something what, you know, you find a focus area? Can you share some information about that?
Yeah, so the main responsibility for my division now is on top of the enterprise application, operational application, infrastructure and network, as you mentioned, right? So the full rollout of wireless canopies in the refineries, for example, cybersecurity, data analytics, and of course the office of the CIO. With the integration of all those pieces that we call the box, it's also, of course, maintaining the OT environments alongside allowing the drone capabilities to really make us better. So with regards to protecting our environment cybersecurity-wise, we're following the highest standards. So one of the things that we brought from the Israeli Airlines, of course, is this approach of taking it one step further. So we're utilizing even Israeli startups to help us with doing that, and we're kind of even sharing our ideas with the Israeli drone company, that Percepto, that we're also investor at. So we're building this product and designing the product together in order to not just get the FAA approval for the BVLOS and things that we are very proud of being, for example, the first oil and gas company to utilize the BVLOS and fly remotely from a pilot in Nashville flying the drone in Arkansas, but also make sure it's a safe and secured system that allows us to do so.
So you're flying with a waiver in the US through FAA, right?
Yeah.
What do you think, based on your experience, is it easy to get the waiver, or is it difficult, or the FAA is collaborative with those initiatives? I guess you have good relation with them through Percepto, maybe.
So Percepto so all the credits is to Percepto.
Amazing.
So they got the approval from the FAA for BVLOS, and we're just the one utilizing that.
Amazing.
Of course, it changed. It's a game changer for us, right? It changes the way that we can operate, the way that we can really utilize the fact that people from the headquarters can do a lot of the things that usually takes some of the time of the professionals in the field.
Yeah.
So we do have pilots in the assets for emergency response and for their knowledge around, you know, the infections that are being done. But we can also utilize the fact that in the headquarters, we can support them remotely
Yeah.
As part of our Eye in the Sky program, we are really supporting them, not just in emergency, but also in the daily operations. So that's a huge game changer for us, but all the credit here is for Percepto.
So how broadly you adopted drones at your daily operation within an oil gas? So is it like more a use case, or is it really like an everyday operation by today?
So like everything in the IT approach, or the technology approach, we started very small and scaled up fast, right? So we started small with, you know, just tanks inspections, and then valve, and then moved on to more units and more, you know, the entire refinery after all. Eventually, we came out to a situation where we have four refineries with two drones each. One is the optical gas imaging, the OGI, and the other one is the 24 megapixel with the infrared capabilities as well. So we built use case after use case after use case, and it made it something operational for us to really operate and maintain and measure. But once again, the secret was to start small and then scale fast once you see that it's valuable, and then it makes sense to expand the program.
Yes, so I will have a tricky question now. You don't need to take it. You have the choice to veto it. So did you count how many percent more productive, revenue-wise or saving-wise, a drone operation compared to, you know, human-driven inspection? And I know it's not only revenue or cost-cutting, because it's also a human factor, health and safety. I know there's a lot of other benefits, yeah. You know, I'm 100% aware, but just purely cost-wise, do you have like rough numbers? How much better to utilize a drone than a human driven solution?
So first of all, we are measuring that. I can't share the exact numbers, but it's in the hundreds of thousands of dollars a year for each site.
Yes.
So it starts with not just LPO, right? Yeah. But also things that are being addressed immediately. So it becomes an LPO, a prevention of an LPO afterwards, but very, very measurable things, right? For example, if you find a leak with the OGI drone on a roof tank, it's something that might be discoverable or might not. So what's the price on that? What's the measure? What's the value on that? And how can you measure the time that was saved on the operator time now not utilizing? So once again, different ways of measuring it, but once again, the hundreds of thousands per site per year.
It's very exciting because finally real numbers, like even if you are vague now, but I think this is what we need to talk about, because drones are not like nice toys. Of course, engineers love to do it, but we need to create revenue. I need to create revenue with Drone Talks. Otherwise, tomorrow I shut down. You need to create revenue.
I'll give you
this is all about, you know, cost saving.
I'll give you a concrete example.
Yeah.
In a few months ago, we had a fire in one of our tanks.
Yeah.
So the emergency response team on site went out with a hose to shut it off. But they didn't even the fire was huge, right? So they didn't even see that they're not reaching the fire with the hose. When we launched the drone to support them in this inside, they just told them, hey, you need to move a few.
Closer.
Closer, much closer. And then they distinguished within like 30 something minutes, which was amazing.
Yeah.
Right? Otherwise, it would be like 2 hours, 3 hours, nothing happened, you know, environmental issues. And I think it's a very promising way of collaborating. It's not going to replace the human. It's going to be kind of a second layer of support. And definitely in the daily routines and those daily inspections can prevent a lot of things. I'll give you an example. I came from the data field, right? So the main idea with utilizing data is to work according to the insights. So let's say you have the same autonomous mission every day. The anomalies are built up in a very small portions. So in the human eye, you would not see that change. But with utilizing the software, right, the AIM software, you can see those small changes happening day after day, and then you can see something is happening, right? Because you're doing the same things. Just imagine if the same pilot would do the same thing, he would not see it.
Yeah, I don't even think it's possible. As a human, I'm a human. I am not able to do the same things every day, you know?
Yeah.
So I think it's amazing. And as a user perspective, if you want to give an advice to the whole ecosystem, what's next? What do you need? You know, like, okay, now you have a great drone, they do inspection, they are automated, they collect the data, which you can assess and, you know, and check, and you have a database. So what's next now? Like, is it the end of the story, or is it something else? What the user perspective needs, and maybe something like, say an example, the ground and air robots should be have a control center where you can get all the data to one, or I'm just brainstorming here, but what's next? What as a user I think, you would like to see as a next?
I think we should take it to like three separate streams.
Yeah,
that we'll all collect correlate together eventually. The first one would be to learn from others, right? Be humble. A lot of people are doing great things around you. Just learn from others, like in these conferences, etc. We're learning a lot from electrical companies that are doing the, you know, power distribution hotspots within the pipe, the poles. So it's very easy for us to kind of see how they do, what's their use case, and just implement it in our core system. So that would be kind of the lesson learns phase. The second ones would be how to operationalize it, right? The drone is just a tool in your toolbox.
100%.
What do you do with it? I mean, once you have this inspection, what's the procedure that will make you design it right, plan it right, execute it right, and then act accordingly? For example, is it automatically open the work order in the SAP? How is the cycle going to work in order to really address the issues?
Even communicate with
communication
SAP?
Exactly, and
or
to
is
the
it
SMEs.
Not designed to communicate
exactly.
with SAP?
Exactly, integrated
so you are,
to SAP,
yeah, integrated
fully integrated.
Or not integrated.
And when is the part that you should kind of engage the SMEs to actually decide whether it should be an work order or not? And the third stream will be, once again, utilizing the fact that you can do it remotely. Now with the FAA approval, you can build a different model. We call it the layers model, right? So the first responders and the people on site would have their capabilities to do something, you know, to react when something happens. But the second layer can do kind of the more scheduled routines and help with some of the analytical capabilities. So instead of you being the process engineer and spend a lot of your time looking at videos, you will just address the insights that will come out from those videos. So instead of looking at a video of 15, 20 minutes, we'll just focus 5 minutes on the insights that were pulled out from the back office team, right? So kind of
software.
Yeah, or software, exactly. So those are kind of the three streams that I said. And once again, I repeat the previous sentence, start small. Start with one use case, two use case, one area, two units, five units, a full refinery, and then expand fast. Once you feel comfortable with what you did so far, expand it. A lot of the times that I see in this industry, people start, you know, company starts with a big, robust digital transformation programs, like $1 billion, 17 refineries. No. Start small, one unit, two units, and then scale fast.
Build a bit. I think it's a very good advice from someone who is really experienced with aviation background, you know.
Yeah.
And I think my last question is that, do you like the show? What's your vibe here? Is it first time you attend?
Yeah, first time.
And what's your take on it? Do you think, is it useful for the industry having those shows and get-togethers? Or do we need to do something else? You know, how your cities, or should we go to all your shows? Or, you know, get
into
that?
First of all, it's not instead of, because we have the AFPM, right? The American Fuel and Petroleum. So I go there as well as part of learning from the industry. But once again, here is more about focusing on the drones so you can learn from your peers from other industries,
exactly.
Which is great.
It's more
once
like
again,
a technology show.
Yeah, so for example, me with my background, I was working for six different industries. So telco, software, retail, financial industry, television, aviation, and now oil and gas. It makes you see, kind of get a lot of ideas from other industries that can be implemented in this industry, right? So once again, you see all those companies with similar solutions, sometimes bringing some new ideas, new capabilities. So just learning from this event, for sure, I will attend some of those as well in the future.
I love your background. If I would have enough, you know, money, I would hire you. You know, like I'm very, very impressed, but I cannot afford you, I'm sure. So, you know, need to still grow until, you know, we can have you on board. But it's impressive. Thank you so much for the interview. It was very insightful.
I hope it was a good first impression.
Amazing. It was really amazing.
Thank you very much.